Father, we thank you, we honor you, bless you, reverence you tonight. You're an awesome God, and we just love on you. Father, as we stand before your word, we realize that your word is endued and anointed with power. And Father God, we know your word is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Your word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Father God, thank you for causing your word to meet the need tonight. In every life, every individual listening, however, whatever venue they're listening to this message in, Father, may your word reach their hearts, their spirits tonight. And not only that, we ask you to guide us, guide this service by your Holy Spirit. Direct our steps, direct the flow and activity of this service. Father, we're ever mindful of our pastors tonight, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, and pray for their continued safety and pray you'll continue to use them, anoint them, equip them, all those who are with them, those in Oklahoma City, use and anoint and equip and protect them as well. So, Father, we look unto you and thank you for giving us the unction and the utterance through the mighty name of Jesus. And we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We'll shake the hands of one more person that you didn't shake hands with prior. Praise God. You have your Bible tonight, turn to Acts chapter 8. Title of this message is The Four R's of Victory. The Four R's of Victory. Look at somebody, tell them, the four R's. Look at somebody else, tell them, the four R's of victory. This message we're sharing tonight, yesterday, Saturday, but a week ago, Saturday night, I woke up and grabbed a pen and some paper and started writing some thoughts down that just seemed to be impressed to write these things down, and it was this sermon. This sermon that I'm sharing with you tonight, just wrote it all out there at one time a week ago. And if you were not here, be here every time the doors are open, right? If you were not here on Wednesday, then it would really behoove you to get the message that Reverend Doug Jones shared. It was a powerful message about repentance. And then, if you weren't here this morning when Reverend Tad Gregorich ministered, man, you need to go out there and get that one too. And the awesome power of God was preached about and in demonstration. This message seems to fit right in. You know, I'm thankful to the Lord because as he gave me this message, you know, a week ago, I would have had to put my eyes on him to give this message tonight after all that we've heard this week. And, you understand this, we don't compare ourselves to anybody. We just endeavor to please the Lord, and whatever we say, we want to be pleasing to him. And so how many know the minister has to keep his eyes on the Lord, just like the person in the pew has to keep their eyes on the Lord. And so I'm just thankful for how the Lord directed our steps here and just sure that this is what we should share tonight. Okay. the year was 1982. And by that time, I was very active on campus and my Christian group. We had a Christian group on our college campus. And we were about 200 students strong. And we had an evangelistic campaign in 1982. And there on the college of Rutgers, at the campus of Rutgers University, there were 49,000 plus students at that time. I don't know how many they have now, but I mean, 49,000 students, that's a lot of students. And so we were always running evangelistic campaigns, just so glad to be saved. We were just trying to get other people born again. And the Lord opened many doors for us and helped us. But on one particular campaign, we had prayed and had decided we were going to show a film we were going to go over to the Livingston campus and show a film over there. And it was one of these shock films, distant thunder, What was another one back then that was real popular? Thief in the Night. I don't know if I, you know, I may be dating myself. But anyway, these films, you know, you'd see these films and then, you know, they were evangelistic in nature. And then the idea is you show the film's about Christ coming back. People see, you know, Christ is going to come back. They may not be ready. And then you give altar call and then people. And so we'd been praying, getting ready for all of that. And man, we're just wanting to get, you know, we're just wanting to get just a throng of people saved and just get them born again. And so we showed the film and we put up flyers everywhere and we prayed, put up flyers everywhere. And man, when that night the hall was full. And so we showed the film. I don't remember if it was A Thief in the Night or Distant Thunder. I think it was A Distant Thunder. Anyway, we showed that film. And when we got done with the film, well, then one of us was supposed to go up and make the altar call. Maybe it was me. I think maybe I went first and went up there and made a passion plea, and not a soul stirred, not a soul moved. And, you know, just encourage people to come give their life to the Lord. Nobody came and gave their life to the Lord. And so then another sister from the Christian group, her name was Teresa, she motioned at me, and I knew what Teresa was saying, let me give it a shot. And so Teresa got up there, and she was a mighty preacher herself and had been born again. I mean, Teresa just laid it out there on the line, and not a soul moved. Nobody came down. And finally, somebody else got up and said something, and finally, after they said something, one person got up, one cat got up and started walking down. And I can still see it. I can still see it like it was yesterday. He was coming down the right side. His name was Bobby. Now, a few of us knew Bobby because Bobby had been, you know, he was a Christian, but he was backslidden. And so we had seen Bobby many times in our fellowships and at Bible study. We'd seen Bobby at church. But then for several months now, we haven't seen Bobby at all. And we know that Bobby's backslidden. And so after that, I guess that third person made a plea. Then here comes Bobby stood up. And he was way at the top of the stadium seating. He's at the top, you know, the platform's down and the seats go straight up. And Bobby starts coming from the top and he's walking down to each level. And so, you know, you could just hear a pin drop in that place. One cat's coming. And Bobby, he turned. he got halfway down and he turned to the audience. And he said this, what y'all looking at me for? Y'all need to repent yourself. You should get on down there and stop worrying about me and get your heart right with God. You know you ain't living right. Get yourself to the altar. And they thronged down there to the altar. Bobby was the preacher that night. He was the person coming for the altar call, but he was also the preacher. The Lord did through Bobby what he couldn't do through none of us that night. I don't know. But Bobby got them all down there and we got them all born again. And we laughed and laughed. We laughed about that. So we'd always kid Bobby, you know. Here he was, you know, coming up. But God used him in a mighty way. And his one act of obedience affected so many people, you know. And tonight we want to talk about that in slightly different form. The four R's of victory. If you're in Acts chapter 8. By now, you know, in this chapter, Philip has gone down to Samaria after the great persecution against the church broke out and the church was scattered. And Philip went to Samaria and began preaching the word of God. And the Samaritans, there was just great signs that Philip was performing and people were getting born again. And Philip was used mightily of the Lord. And there was a great revival that broke out in Samaria. Verse 9 is where we're going first. Verse 9. I want to get to 13 and what the Bible says in verse 13 and verse 22. But verse 9. Now there was a man named Simon who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from the smallest to the greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, "This man is what is called the great power of God." And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. But when they had believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike, 13. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip as he observed the signs and great miracles taking place. He was constantly amazed. Now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Verse 20, Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter. Your heart is not right before God." Verse 22 is where we're going. "Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray that the Lord, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and the bondage of iniquity." But Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." This story is a powerful story about what happens and the real need for repentance. I said I was going to share the 4 R's of victory tonight. The first R we're going to talk about is actually repentance. Repentance is a powerful, powerful, powerful tool, venue that God has given to all of us, whether born again or whether not born again. Repentance is a powerful tool. Doug did such a fabulous job Wednesday night. Listen, repentance represents a change in your thinking and a change in your action, your willingness to act. And here in this passage of Scripture, we see that Simon the sorcerer, he gets born again. The Scripture says there that he believed Philip and was born again. And yet, because his motives weren't right, later when Peter and John are there, they tell Simon that he's got to repent. He's trying to buy the gift of God with money. Look with me over in 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, verses 15 through 19. Repentance, it's a wonderful thing. There's nothing like the freedom that comes from repentance. I remember one time my mama called me, and I'd been sharing my faith and sharing the gospel with my sweet mom, and man, she wasn't hostile to it like my dad, but she said, "Honey, you're losing your mind over the Bible. You just read the Bible. You read the Bible." She said, "You come home from college, I look in on you. You're reading the Bible. You get up in the morning, you're reading the Bible." She said, "You lose your mind reading the Bible." I was trying to get a renewed mind reading the Bible. Amen. And, Brother Hagin used to say that oftentimes we'll feed our body 3 hot meals a day and feed our spirits 3 cold snacks a week. Then we wonder why we're so weak in faith. We need to feed our spirit upon the word of God. Jesus, quoting Deuteronomy, said, "Man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Amen. We all need God's word. We all need to feed on God's word. Amen. And so I remember my mama called me and she said, "Bill," she said, "oh man, I have gotten free. I have gotten born again." And she said, "Boy, the Lord has saved me." And I started crying. And she said, I was so burdened, so burdened. And she said, "I bowed down over the toilet and I asked God to have mercy on me." And she said, "I repented of all of my sins." And she said, "Down there on my knees in front of that toilet, I just felt the weight of the world lift off my shoulders." I said, repentance is a powerful thing. My dad was much more hostile to the gospel. And my dad, he was more prideful and stubborn. And I was saying this morning that, I remember one time he told me, tell me one thing that God has done for you. You keep touting all these things God has done. Tell me one thing. Don't tell me that he saved you. I don't want to hear that. Tell me one thing, one concrete thing God has done for you. And I said, he's taken all my worries and fears and he's replaced it with peace. And so my dad said, oh, I have that same peace. Hey, that ain't nothing. I already got that. He said, he was reading after this man, Cahil Gibran. He said, I get my, these books, philosophy books. And he said, I get peace reading my philosophy books. Same thing you got. I said, oh no, it's not the same thing. And we were arguing whether or not, you know, he had peace. And I was saying, you ain't got peace. What you talking about is something totally different. Well, I've got true Bible peace that Christ gave me. Jesus said, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. So don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, John 14, 27. So Jesus says, my peace I'm giving to you. And I remember many months later when my dad called me and he said, Bill, I got born again. And I could hear him crying and I'm crying. And he said, son, you remember we talked? And he said, you remember you told me when I asked you, tell me one thing that Christ had done, you told me Christ has given you peace. And I claimed that I had the same thing that you had. I claimed that reading philosophy books, I had the same peace. He said, you remember that? Through his tears, I said, yes, I remember it. And he said, I didn't know what I was talking about. He said, I was ignorant. He said, I've got the peace of God all over me right now. And he said, I've never had this. No philosophy book gave me this. And we rejoiced together. Repentance brought that peace upon him. Yeah, repentance is a mighty tool. Today in our culture, there is a increased effort. The enemy, you know, if... First of all, we already know this, and... You know, look, the enemy, he doesn't have any power or any authority over us. We have authority over him. Amen. I said, I ought to have a better amen than that. That ain't my point. I said, he don't have no power over you. He don't have any power over me. We have authority over him. So, but the thing is, you know, he already knows that. And so his new old trick is to try and get us to compromise. And Satan loves it. When people won't give in, then he loves it if he can try to tempt them to compromise. Just give in a little bit. And today in our culture, we say this, you know, look, if somebody's not hurting you, if what they're doing is not hurting you, then it's not wrong. So we ought to leave people alone. We shouldn't be so narrow-minded as Christians. Because they're not hurting anybody. If somebody's not hurting you, leave them alone. But I tell you, we better pay attention to what God has to say. And we should remember, you know, that old principle, you know, we love God, hate sin, love people, hate sin. You know, we should love people and hate sin. But there's a push today to compromise. And I want to be clear. I'm not talking tonight about legalism. I'm not talking. Legalism is just a set of do's and don'ts, a set of rules, living by a set of rules, a false holiness, a false piety based on just different rules. I'm not talking about legalism. And I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we walk with Jesus, individually, Jesus will require us to change. The Bible tells us all as Christians to take up our cross and to bear our cross, but he always requires us to change. Do you know what rat poison is? I don't know how they make it today, but I haven't had it. But you know what rat poison is? Rat poison is made up of corn and some type of poison. And most of the time what they do is they put a lot of good corn and just mix a little bit of poison up in the corn. And it's some huge percentage, like 90% of it is actually good corn, which is what attracts the rat. But it's that 10%, it's the poison, that 10% that kills the rat. And Satan tries to run that same ratio off on us using bad doctrine. Because the Bible tells you and I to guard our doctrine, to watch our doctrine, Ephesians 4. Listen, we have to be mindful of our doctrine is core, central truth, central teaching about some subject or some teaching of Christ. Doctrine, sound doctrine means it's a core biblical teaching about some subject of Christ. And the Bible says we have to watch our doctrine because the enemy will try and put 10% rat poison into a bunch of other really good scriptures. And then we start nibbling on that like the rat. And we have to be careful. Today, in some circles, we're told in the body of Christ, we don't have to repent anymore. We don't have to repent of our sins. There's some places you can go today in the body of Christ, they'll tell you, if you repented initially, you don't have to repent anymore. Child, please. Let me tell you this. They say, God, stop requiring us to do that. God doesn't require us to repent. Live your life any way you want. It'll be okay. But let me remind you, unconfessed sin is dangerous. It will rob you of your passionate relationship with Jesus Christ. It will rob you of your ability to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as he tries to lead you on the inside. Psalm 66:18, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. John, writing under the power of the Holy Spirit to Spirit-filled Christians, wrote in 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sin and to what? Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. This new watered-down grace today tries to trick people with bad doctrine to get people to compromise. And it suggests live any way you want. Grace has got you covered. Go and be free. But that's not freedom at all. That's bondage to sin. You say, brother, is there any joy in this message that you're sharing tonight? I'm just a preacher trying to obey the Lord. Look, Romans chapter 6. Go with me to Romans chapter 6. What are you saying, Brother Bill? It matters how we live our lives. God is not standing over us with some fly swatter waiting for us to do something wrong, and the moment we do it wrong, kapow! But it does matter how you and I live. And God says, look, I've got you covered. If you do something wrong, then I've got you covered. All you have to do is come to me and repent. 1 John 1:9, that's our spiritual bar of soap as a Christian. You ever met anybody and they said, look, I don't take baths anymore. I found out that I only had to take a bath one time. No, hopefully you haven't met anybody like that. But it is as ridiculous as someone saying, as a believer, they don't have to repent anymore. Romans 6:2, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we who have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. Slip down to verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Verse 14. For sin shall not be master over you. You are not under law, but under grace. What then shall we sin? What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. What is Paul saying here? He's saying it really does matter how we live our lives. And thank God for the grace that he has showered and lavished upon us. Thank God for that. But that grace is not so that you and I can sin more. That grace has got us covered, and to free us, that grace is simply puts us over and gives us that ability to do what we can't do ourselves, and that unmerited favor gives us right standing with Him. But He expects us to live a life worthy of all that He's done for us. And He expects us to have one master, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's such power when a man or a woman really repents. Sometimes people repent, they say, well, I got caught, so I'm sorry, I got caught, I repent. That's not true repentance. Sometimes people repent because they say, my grandmama told me to come up here. My mama told me to get down there. My husband told me to get down there. Sometimes people said, somebody came and said, the girl I want to marry told me to come see you and repent. Thank God for His faithfulness to us. But let me tell you this. The Bible says God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And know this, that humility always precedes His help. The first step of humility is honesty. The second step of humility is yieldedness. Jesus said this in Luke 13. Verse 5, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Repentance is the first step of victory. If you're looking for victory in your life tonight, and you have unconfessed sin in your life as a believer, listen, it's time to repent. And if you've never given your life over to the Lord, then it's your night as well. It's time for you to repent. But I'll tell you what will happen. When a man or a woman will repent, will humble themselves before God and will repent, God will rush to their side. God will help you before you can bat your eyelash. God will rush to your side. He will help you. He will strengthen you. God will heal you. He will touch you. He will minister to you. You won't leave here like you came. I can promise you that. But just like Bobby, on his way to repentance that night, just like he so powerfully said and preached from the sideline coming down, calling people to repent. It's the first step to victory. Sometimes people make mistakes and they say, well, you know what? I'm just going to go on. I'm going to gloss over that. I'm not going to go back and change that. You know, that's not, people say, well, I'll just treat you better. Child, please, if you did something wrong to someone, you have to go to that person and repent to them. And there's too much avoidance in the body of Christ. Too many people, you do something against somebody, listen, you need to go to them and repent. What happened to inviting somebody privately into a room out of earshot of other people so you don't embarrass someone and say, hey, bro, I'm so sorry I did that. Or, hey, sis, I'm so sorry I did that or said that or whatever it is. If you've offended somebody publicly, now I'm not talking about, you know, if you had the wrong thought about somebody, just repent on your own. Don't run around announcing your thoughts to people. They don't even know what you were thinking. You have to say that because people, you know, anyway. But you did something that somebody's aware of. Go make it right. I said, go make it right. But we try to gloss it over. I buy you an ice cream cone. No, repent about repent. I can see I ain't going to get no amen here. What's your second? You said there's four of these R's. Can you hurry up? What's the second R? The second R. If you don't jump this first hurdle, you never get to any of the others. And people today think they can just, you know, gloss right on with God without repentance. But the repentance, if we're wrong, repentance is the best thing that can happen to us. Said it's the best thing. It's the best thing. It's the best thing. It's nothing like just being free. It's nothing like, you know, if you don't repent, then there's just like a burden that will come on you. Conviction should come on you. If conviction don't come on you, something else is wrong. Because you can push God aside and push God aside. You know He's dealing with you. You can shrug Him aside and shrug Him aside and shrug Him aside and shrug Him aside. And you just develop calluses over your heart. After a while, it don't hurt you no more. Don't bother you no more. They used to do that with Nazi soldiers, you know, to get them to kill Jews, they would have them murder somebody and then murder them again and then kill somebody else and then kill somebody else. And initially, the folks who did the slaughtering, they reported that they had just huge, they couldn't sleep and they couldn't eat and they were throwing up and they were under conviction. But you know, after they kept killing, many of them report after we just kept killing, people from the Jewish nation just kept killing them. So after a while, it didn't bother them no more. And you could be sitting here with a callus on your heart, because you've shrugged off the Holy Ghost. He's prodded you and loved on. The Bible says this. Listen, it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. Aren't you glad about, how many in here is glad about that? It's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. Thank God. Thank God. He's a kind, loving, heavenly Father. Thank God. Thank God. But the Bible says, listen, if you hear his voice today, don't harden your heart. If you hear his voice, yield. How are you going to yield? Repent. But you know, all too often today, we're too worried about what people think. We live in a world and a culture, we get so worried about what people think. I told you before I started this message, it would have been harder for me to share this message. I still would have shared it. It would have been harder in light of all that we've heard. But the Lord, you know, he'd already dealt with me to share this message more than a week ago. But if we would just get our eyes off of people and keep our eyes on the Lord, we'd be all right. I wish I had a bigger amen than that. I'm going to say that again. I did a better job saying that than y'all said amen. If we would get our eyes off of people and keep our eyes on the Lord, everything would be all right. Because when God is talking to you and God is dealing with you, and when you know that it's God on the inside, you shouldn't care what Sally think. You shouldn't care what Joe think. You shouldn't care what Tom got to say about it. It's you and God. But if you'll let him, he'll help you. He'll rush to your side. Jesus said, if you reject me, I'll reject you. If you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Oh, but if you'll humble yourself, I'll rush to you. I'll help you. Somebody here say, I want God's help. I want God to help me. I need God to help me. Repentance is the way he's going to help you. And we started off with Simon in Acts chapter 8. But you know, listen, the Bible says he believed. He believed Philip. Simon believed with the rest of the Samaritans. He believed what Philip was preaching on. But then later when Peter and John got down there, listen, the wrong motive of his heart was exposed. And he tried to buy the gift of God. And that's when Peter rebuked him and said, you know, he needed to repent. He was already born again. He'd already received Christ. He had a wrong motive. And Peter said, you got to repent. You know, when we repent, that's the first step in God's restoration. So that's the second R, restoration. Listen, restore is the word, but I'm talking about restoration, okay? Repent, restore. Listen, there's nothing like the spiritual feeling of being in right relationship with God when we repent. He restores us to the status we had with him before the infraction occurred. And let me tell you, when you repent, God immediately he will restore. Thank God. Repentance leads to restoration. Praise God. And it should be that way in our lives as well. So often, somebody repents, then the person they repent to says, yeah, okay, I'm going to forgive, but I ain't going to never forget that. Tell you right now, I ain't going to never forget that. Some people have a sibling, a brother, a sister they won't even talk to because of something that's happened in years gone by and something that they won't forget. I ain't going to forget it. But you know what? What should follow repentance is restoration. Said restoration. I have an article I clipped out several years ago, and Congressman John Lewis, he was around during the 60s and late 50s and 60s and some of the sit-ins and marches, and he was in a train station. Him and some other students had gone to, they were traveling across a different state, and they were going to protest racial injustice and segregation. And while they were I don't know, they were in a bus station and they were trying to get to the bus or wherever they were going, and a young white person came out and just punched him in the face. And the article is written all these years later because the person had repented and asked to meet with him. And John Lewis met with him. And they were asking, the reporters were asking John Lewis, how could you forgive him? He punched you in the face, and it was a big thing all over the news. And he said, you know, look, God has forgiven me, and we're required to forgive people. And that man has truly repented, and I've just restored him, forgiven him. I thought, man, what a powerful step. There's nothing like the restoration that comes after repentance is granted. Somebody's repented. Somebody did you wrong. They repented. Hey, you know what you should do? Restore them. Make it right. Stop looking at them like that. Stop avoiding them. Wish I had a bigger amen than that. What's your third R, brother? Renew. Repent is number one. Restore, number two. Renew, number three. What do you mean? If you renew your mind is what I'm talking about. Renew your mind, and God will renew your strength and renew your attitude. And he says, I'll renew your strength like that of the eagle. Isaiah 40, verse 27. Isaiah 40, verse 27. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. In his understanding, no one can fathom. Verse 29. Isaiah 40, verse 29. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. I shared some time ago that in the course of this past year, I was before the Lord, asking the Lord for strength. And with outstretched hands, I was saying to the Lord, you said you would strengthen me like that of the eagle. And the Lord, he spoke to my heart inwardly, just felt impressed with this. If you will continue to renew your mind, I will continue to renew your strength. God's promised to give us the strength of the eagle. You say, I don't feel that. You need to renew your mind. We've got to have our mind renewed with the word of God. But if you don't feel God's strength tonight, you don't have God's strength tonight, listen, you're going to have to take the time and renew your mind. But if you'll renew your mind, you say, I don't feel, renew your mind. If you'll renew your mind, the strength of God will rise from within you. And he'll give you the power you don't have now. What you think you can't do now, he'll give you the strength. He'll give you the power. He'll give you divine ability. You'll be able to run through a troop and leap over a wall with the strength that God provides. And so there's a part that only we can play. That's renewing our mind. And oh, when I got busy, when the Lord spoke that to my heart and I got busy renewing my mind, oh man, how he strengthened me. Oh man. Just rolled out of bed after that with arms lifted on my knees saying, Lord, I've got it. I feel your power. I feel your strength. Philippians 2:13. It's God who works in you both to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Philippians 2:14, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you can become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. You know, God will help our attitude when you keep a renewed mind. Got the wrong attitude? Gonna have to renew your mind. Somebody said, well, I got a lousy attitude. I'll tell you that right now. My attitude is lousy and I know it. You know, congratulations. Get busy renewing your mind. Because that's the only way you're going to get help. Finally and quickly, number four, rejoice. Rejoice. We said this to you. Look, the first thing you're going to have to do, the first R of victory is repent. The second one is restore. The third is renew. And the fourth one is rejoice. Just real quick, just going real quick, round and third, headed home. Under rejoice, four things real quick. Get into faith. 2 Corinthians 5:8, you understand? You're going to have to approach your problem before you see a manifestation. We walk by faith, not by sight. And sometimes you're going through a tough time. You're going to have to learn how to rejoice during tough times before you see a manifestation. You're going to have to learn how to rejoice before you ever see it. I'm only going to get three amens there. But there is a powerful principle there, and I don't care who you are. We all want to see first and respond later. As Pastor Tad was preaching so powerfully this morning about Thomas, but let me tell you this. We walk by faith, not by sight. Get into faith. Secondly, listen, get focused. B or A. A is get into faith under rejoice. B is get focused. Get focused. Get your eyes off of people. Get your eyes off your problem. Get your eyes on your promise and get your eyes on the Lord. The Bible says in Acts 3:19, there are times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. Psalm 97:5, the mountains melted like wax in the presence of the Lord. Get your mind focused on the presence of the Lord. See under rejoice. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's Ephesians 5:18. Don't be drunk with dissipation. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. D, get free. The Bible says in John chapter 8 that the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Get into faith, get focused, get filled, get free. All of that under rejoice. Let me tell you this as we wind this thing down. Somebody says here, you know, I feel like I've been snake bit. It's like Paul was snake bit in Acts chapter 27. But you feel like you've been snake bit, it's time for you to shake that off. You've had that I've been snake bit attitude too long now. How long are you going to walk around acting like you've been snake bit? Jesus gave you the victory. Jesus stomped the head off of the snake. So how long are you going to walk around confessing that the snake has bit you? You've been free from any effect of the snake. Thank God. It's time to shake it off. How long are you going to let that thing bother you? Okay, you went through something for a minute. How long are you going to let that bother you? How long are you going to let it dominate your thinking? How long are you going to let it dominate your time? It's time for you to shake that thing off. I want somebody, you're in here right now and you're tired of worrying about what people think about you. You're tired of worrying about what people say about you. You're tired of worrying about who's on your left and who's on your right. But something has been bothering you. Something's been dominating you. I don't want you to come down here. I want you to stand up right where you are. God's going to meet you right where you are. Something's been bothering you. You feel like you've been bit. I've been snake bit. That enemy has been bothering me. He's been bothering me. It is time for you to shake that off. It is time for you to shake that off. You say, what do you want me to do? I want you to do something. I don't care if you shake. I don't care. You're signifying by faith that Jesus is my master. Jesus is my Lord. That's not going to dominate me another moment. That's not going to dominate me another second. I'm going to shake that off and suffer no ill or harm. I'm going to shake that thing off. I went through that and it hurt me and caused me pain. I'm going to shake that thing off. I'm not going to let that thing dominate me anymore. I'm through letting Satan dominate my mind. I'm through being filled with fear. I'm through allowing him to control me. Hey, it's time to shake it off. I don't care. Listen, I don't care if you step out into the aisle. You're going to get free tonight in the name of Jesus. Tonight is your night to be free. I want you to just step out in the aisle if you need to. If you don't, that's all right. On the count of three, I want you to shake or dance or stomp or shout. I want you to do something by faith. Hey, to demonstrate God has set you free. Jesus said, those who the Son sets free shall be free indeed. Hey, Jesus has set you free. Jesus died for you to be free. Jesus paid the penalty for you to be free. Come on, one, get yourself ready. Two, it's not going to bother you anymore after tonight. Come on, three, do whatever God's giving you now. Come on, shake that thing off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. No more, devil. No more. No more. Not another moment. Not another second. Hey, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The rest of you stand up. You got something to thank God for. If he saved you, come on, lift a hand to him. If he's ever blessed you, stomp a foot for him. If he's ever ministered to you, come on and tell him thank you. Open up your mouth and bless his name. Hey, he's worthy tonight. The Bible said, don't let any rock cry out for you. If you want us to go out and get some rocks, we'll bring some rocks in here. Hey, but I'm not going to let any rock cry out for me. I know what he's done for me. I know what he's done for me. Hey, and he's been a good God. He's a mighty good God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Somebody's gotten free in here. Woo! Woo, man. Oh, man. I feel somebody came in here burdened, but you ain't burdened no more. Oh, man. There is a freedom in Christ. There is a freedom in Jesus. Glory be to God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You're here. You're here. You're standing. That's okay. Keep standing. You're here. But you say, you know, I need to repent. I need to make it right with God. Hey, get up. Come on down here real quick. Come on down. I need to make it right with God. Doesn't matter who you are. Don't worry about people. I need to get things right with the Lord. Got to make it right tonight. Not going to go another night. Not going to go another night. Praise God. Not going to go another night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just come on. Just come on. Just come on. Just come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Just step out in the aisle. Don't care. Don't matter who's looking. Don't worry about who's looking at you. God's looking at you. God is going to help you tonight. God's going to help you. God's going to help you. There's somebody else. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You know the Holy Ghost is moving on you. The Holy Ghost is moving. Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't shrug him off. Don't shrug him off. Come on. God's moving on you. He's moving on you. You know what he wants to do? He wants to help you. He's trying to get help to you. Let him help you tonight. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Just lift one hand to the Lord. Let's all pray this prayer together. You may have already prayed this. Let's pray this prayer together. Father, thank you so much now. Say this out loud. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. Just thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. We just repent in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for restoration. Thank you for renewing my mind. Thank you for restoring my joy. Father, we just, you said in your word, if we would confess our sins, you'd be faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we thank you for your word. We know you're not a liar. And we receive and accept your forgiveness through the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. Yeah. Oh, man, God's helping you. It's all right. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. He's helping you. Praise God. He's helping you. Oh, man, he's helping you. Praise God. He's helping you. Oh, man. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just want some of our prayer room workers to come down here. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, Ben. Hallelujah. Ben, David, Smets. That's Paul there. Praise God. Just behind you is one of our anointed prayer room workers. Just turn and meet them. What they're going to do is just take you to a place of prayer, and they're going to pray with you. This is Brother Dave. They're going to pray with you and help you receive everything that you came for. Just go with them right now. They're just going to make sure they answer all your questions. Praise God. Hallelujah. But point your hand toward them. Father, thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We just pray for our friends, our brothers and sisters. We thank you for ministering to them. Whatever the need is, help them, Father. Strengthen them. Minister life and peace to them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. you know how we do by now. If you need something else, come down here, talk to one of these anointed guys here, Smets and Tracy. Paul, come on down here, talk to one of these anointed ladies, if you're a lady. When we dismiss in a moment, you have something you want to make right with God. You have something you need agreement in prayer for. Listen, remember this week, let's keep our pastors in prayer. Let's keep all those coming back from Oklahoma City in prayer. And you be here on Wednesday, and then let's be here again on Sunday, all right? So lift one hand to the Lord. Father, we trust you. We thank you. Ask you to give us peace as we go. Ask you to protect us and guard us till we see one another again. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. If you're here and it was your first time visiting, we had somebody, it was your first time. Yeah, just turn right around. And that's Al right there, our friend Al. Go with him to that place. And if you're somewhere else there, I think Jerry's moving towards somebody. Go with them to that place. Why do you want us to go? We're going to give you a gift on behalf of our pastors and the church congregation. We just got a great gift. We want to bless you just for coming out to church. Can we thank them one more time? All right, we'll just let them get out of the aisle. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, remember, keep things right with you and the Lord. There's nothing like keeping a clean slate with Christ and keeping a pure conscience is so important today. Don't let calluses develop over your conscience, okay? Keep it right with the Lord. All right, looks like all hearts and minds are clear. Thanks for being such a great audience. Just love preaching to you. God bless you. We'll see you next time.